do think that this sort of development would devalue properties. So thank you for your time.
And thank you, Mrs. Crisp. Any questions for Mrs. Crisp? Thank you. Scott Brindley.
I actually live on Trinity Road, right across from Mr. Crisp. That's mine there. I also own these three lots over across the street. Everything's pretty well been said that can be said. Two points I would like to make is I actually drive a dually pickup. The roads are narrow enough, if I meet a car, I've got to put my fenders between a couple mailboxes and stop so a car can get by. Today, actually, one of the houses between the two entrances on Trinity was getting sighted, and you know, the company had nowhere else to park but in the street with their trailer. Luckily, they were past the first entrance so I could get home. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get my truck home because the road was that narrow. The other one I like to bring up is I'm the one that led the petition in our neighborhood. I went around and knocked on every house. Last week, I had some help from somebody else that was probably gonna speak, and she went with me. The first petition I turned in for the meeting that was supposed to be in last month had 51 signatures on it in our neighborhood. Part two that I turned in last week had 21 more signatures on it. So we had 72 total signatures against nightly rentals. I will point out and be honest about it, I did have one person that said, I don't care. And I have one very, very elderly lady that said, I don't want to get involved. I've lived here too long. And you know, my mom, who is also elderly, said, I understand her point. We've lived there for about 20 years. I also went over to Jasmine Street. The only houses I went to over there were the ones that back up to the said property. You know, anything east where it says Scott and up that direction on there, I did not bother them because that did not affect them in any one way, shape, or form. I got 16 signatures over there. Nobody denied it. So I had 90 people I asked and I got brought home 88 signatures against it. That's what the neighborhood thinks about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. We do have your petition. It's been put in the record. Monica Davis Bryan.
Okay, I'm going to go straight over here. Okay. South Fork. Okay. I live in this house, and my parents, elderly, my dad has Alzheimer's, and mom is taking care of him. They live in this house. This is probably the most fun place to live if this goes through, because that's right where people will be turning. I apologize for I'm not organized. I didn't realize I was going to want to speak, but I think that this development would negatively impact the quality of life of this neighborhood. It's a very quiet residential area, and also I'm concerned about property values. There are a lot of children in the neighborhood. There's one little blind boy who lives on South Fork and waits with his family outside the house every day for the bus, and he's got the white cane. So that's a concern with people driving fast through the neighborhood. According to when I calculate, we've got 8 people possible in each of these units. 4 cars could be parked there. That extrapolates out to 76 possible cars going through. And I would assume a couple times a day, if you're a nightly rental, you know, you'd want to get out and go to a show or whatever. So that's a lot more traffic in this area. I'm not a lawyer, not familiar with the law. I know this is a concern with what these gentlemen are saying to you, but bottom line is they're asking for an exemption to a status that's already there, and that's residential. And they're surrounded by residential, and that's not something that we signed up for.
Thank you. Any questions for Judy?
Okay. Or Monica? Terry Fredline.
Fredine.
Fredine.
I didn't get sworn in. I don't want to speak.
Okay. Well, we could swear you in if you did. I just wanted to give you that opportunity.
Okay.
All right.
They've already said everything. I feel exactly the way everybody else does.
Mark McSpadden.
I live in Lakeshore Drive, but I live in Comfort Lane. Which I'm not sure which one. I live right here in Comfort Lane, which is on the north side of the development that's being proposed. About 30 years ago, I met with a gentleman named Joe Snotto, who developed that property. And I had a young family, and we were looking for a home that was quiet, residential home. And I think that's what he said it was. That's why we bought it, because the atmosphere and the type of quality of community it is. And I want to make sure it's kept that way, because like a lot of everybody else said, there's a lot of young people, young families, and there are also a lot of elderly people. And one of the questions was a while ago, about the roads. You can see just by this map right here, you can see how narrow that road is that goes out into the development. And it's even narrower than the South Fork Road, just by that map. I think it's very important that I know there's some legalities that's been mentioned, and it's been used as a reference of pressure to make you make a decision. But I think it's very important that you think of the people who live in that community. Several people who've been there for over 30 years, and they bought into that community for a reason. Now, if there's a need and desire for nightly rentals to be put into that area, I'd like to see that, because I think there's a lot out there that's not being used already. So what is the purpose and what is the need? Is this, if this is your community, is this something you want? So think about that, and hopefully you will do the right thing to help make this right for the people of that community and make it a place that they can keep on living there, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, that was our last. I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, and now we'll have some discussion and or motions. Does anyone have a motion to bring forward at this time?
I would have liked to ask the representative about his feelings on compatibility.
It's okay. We're in discussion, so yeah. we can bring right. them back up okay. for a task.
And I realize he's a lawyer, but he represents the project.
He does.
So can we bring him up?
Let's do.
Him about the development.
Tim, would you come forward, please?
Right. So, yeah, Alan, on the issue of compatibility, I think it might be useful to reference what surrounding counties do. Because if we look at the Taney County Development Guidance Code, it's not going to give you any direction on how to determine what's compatible or not. In Stone County, for example, where we see a lot of nightly rentals trying to go in on the lake, the Stone County Commission said that nightly rentals are going to be a conditional use in, for example, R1 residential neighborhoods and R2 residential neighborhoods, assuming certain conditions are met. Most of them pertaining to sewer and water quality and having a representative available who could monitor the nightly rental. For example, you don't want an owner living off in Florida and no one attending the house. And so Stone County, for example, has determined that nightly rentals, which by the way are a residential use, it's just residents for less than 30 days, those are compatible with residential neighborhoods, provided you meet the conditions. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Do you feel that the roads are adequate to handle what you're asking for?
I don't think it makes any difference whether it's a nightly rental or if you just put regular houses in there. I think nightly rentals actually generate less traffic because people are out during the day at Solar City or they're out at the lake, whereas if it's your home that you live in, your kids are going to and from school. Each of your kids has if they're high school age, they have a car. You're going zipping to and from the grocery store on short errands. I actually think, and I didn't bring any traffic studies, that nightly rentals generate less traffic because people are just going to different tourist events throughout the day, and they're not running short errands like we do from our own homes.
You mentioned negotiating. I've never been involved in negotiating on this board. Have you? You either ask what you want, you either get it or you don't, then you bring it back with less.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in there for a minute, okay. If I may. Sometimes we have the authority to put certain conditions on it, and we have taken the time to ask if that would be appropriate and acceptable. And I would imagine that's what Mr. Davis was.
That's right. It's quite commonly happens. They say, right. Well, would you agree instead of a 10-foot high fence, would you agree to an 8-foot high fence? Or would you agree to a vegetated buffer only on a certain section? And so it does commonly happen.
And normally when the owners here would ask them or the representative in absence of, okay. of the owner. So that is not an uncommon situation for this board.
Okay. Thank you.
What, if any, hardship has your client identified as this being to them as far as approved or not approved? Or
on this particular application, I don't think we didn't bring it under the hardship provision. So typically, if it's a hardship, maybe you have a very narrow lot or a very steep lot, and you say we're asking for some variation from the general rule to make our property more useful because of the characteristics, I mean, the steepness or the narrowness of the lot. That's typically when the hardship issue comes up. I haven't raised it on this one.
Any other questions for Mr. Davis? Hearing that this time,
all right,
go ahead and sit down, Tim. Discussion? Hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion.
I will make a motion that's in line with the Planning and Zoning Board to deny this because of compatibility.
Motions.
With existing neighborhood.
Motion's been made to deny due to compatibility. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
There's been a motion and a second made. Any discussion concerning the motion before us? Hearing none, I will vote. We're going to do a roll call vote on this one. Would you do that for us, please?
You want me to do it? Or
yeah.
Him to do it? He's got the
list. Bob, would you do it?
Okay. Mark Weiss.
Yes.
Tony Mullen.
Yes.
Dan Boone.
Yes.
And Alan Lawson.
Yes.
Thank you. We have denied their request, and Mr. Davis, go get your $20,000. I hope we end up putting Bob to work sooner so it doesn't go to court. That's a side comment. But that's up to some others, as Mr. Davis knows.
Yes. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you.
Okay. That was a long one. Does anybody need a break?
I could use a couple minutes.